I'm so happy to see so many faces, and I know that you have come a long way to be here, for some of you. And it's truly a blessing that we can be here, and we want to welcome you to our gospel meeting this afternoon. Some of you may have received this pamphlet. You may have received it on the streets or in the campus. And it mentions that we are inviting you to a good news meeting. And some of you may wonder what that means. What's the good news? And I'm here to tell you that the good news is the gospel. As the song that we're going to sing, as well as a testimony by our sister, and also a message by our brother, we would like to introduce that gospel to you. And the gospel is not a doctrine. Okay? Gospel is not a religion, but the gospel is a person, okay? The person in Jesus Christ, who came 2,000 years ago to this earth, and he lived a sinless life, and yet at the end he was put on the cross. And on his shoulders were laid the burden, the weight of all the sin of the world. As the song we'll sing says, it's all of our bitter thoughts, all of our each of our evil deeds. At the end, before he died on the cross, he said three words: "It is finished." Because he finished the work that God has sent him to do on this earth. So after he died, he was buried. On the third day, God raised him powerfully from the dead. So he came to life, and God raised him to prove to the world that he is the Son of God, is the beloved Son of God. And all those who are willing to follow him, to trust in him, have the hope of salvation, and also the forgiveness of their sins. So this is the gospel, and we'd like to introduce that to you. And let us sing this song, The Power of the Cross. This may be new to you, but it's not hard to learn. So let us all sing together.
Torn and beaten down.
when Jesus rose from the dead, he overcame death. And so the believers no longer fear death because we all have the hope of resurrection. But this didn't come easy. This didn't come cheap because he had to pay the full price. He had to pay his life. He offered up his life so that we may have that resurrection. So why don't we sing the third and the fourth stanza again, okay? Seated.
Joy to be here tonight. Let's see if I can get this. Okay. Yes, we did. One side. Oh, there we go. Okay. I put this image up because when I look at this image, I remember my place of surrender. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies show forth his handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech. Night unto night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. So as I stand under this very dark night, with a very bright Milky Way streamed across the sky, there the Lord met to me. In my heart, that universe is so big, so vast. He's so great, so far beyond me. How can I know him? And yet in me, there is that desire for him. Now, we handed out an invitation for this event. And on that invitation, there is a quote by Saint Augustine of Hippo. And he spoke this around the year 400. And he said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." A God, supreme, vast, immense, me, empty, void, but desiring a relationship with that God. How can I bridge that gap? If God has made us for himself, how can we bridge that gap? Enter Christ Jesus. God has made him who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might become right with God. I had no way of bridging that gap, but God did. You see, he saw that problem too. He has a desire. He made us for himself. So he sees the problem. He wants to bridge that gap. And the way he did it was by sending his son. He sent his son to take our place as a payment for that sin, to fulfill God's righteousness. Another verse, I think we handed out several tracts with this verse. Because God so loved me, he so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but should have eternal, everlasting life. So I want to illustrate this with a story. One day a man was hiking through the green pasture lands of Scotland, and he walked past a very healthy-looking large flock of sheep. And he noticed strange little lamb. It looked different from all the other little lambs. It was dressed in its coat of wool. Usually they grow their coat of wool, but this one was dressed in a coat of wool. He continued his walk down the path and he met the farmer, the shepherd. So he asked him, "Yeah, I saw a little sheep back there. He looked really strange." "Oh," said the farmer, "yeah, that guy. Yeah, there's a story that goes with that guy. When he was born, his mother passed away and left him orphaned. So, you know, bottle feeding and all that gives a lot of work for a farmer. Not too many. Maybe. Sometime later, another ewe, mother sheep, bore a lamb, and it died. And she was inconsolable. She went around bleating all day long, looking for her little absent lamb. The farmer got tired of hearing that, and then he thought, wait, orphaned lamb, mom who wants, looking for her. Maybe I put these two together and solve problem solved for both of them. So he put her in a pen and he went and got the little orphan lamb and brought it, put it in the pen with her, and he stood back and watched to see what happened. She went up to that little lamb and she sniffed it, walked around a few times, looked, sniffed a little bit more, and pretty soon her countenance was, "No way. Not mine. Not mine." She backed away, and then she started butting her head against the little lamb, so he quickly pulled it out of there and said, "No, rescued it, the orphan." And then he thought, wait, the dead body of her little lamb is in my shed. So he went down to the shed, and he removed the fleece from that dead body of her little lamb, and he dressed the orphaned lamb in that fleece. Then he tried again. He brought the little orphan lamb, now dressed in the fleece, and put it in the pen with the mother sheep, and stood back to see what happened. I've been forgetting to move my slides. There he is, dressed in the fleece. So again, the ewe sniffed that little lamb. Sniffed. Mine. This is mine. This is mine. So she accepted that little sheep. And that little lamb was saved because it was wearing the fleece of another. Now, when I think about my own condition before God, it's not much different than that orphan lamb. Before God, I am not acceptable in my sin. I'm not acceptable. I am foreign to him. I'm like the one on the right, left. You know, in my own condition, sinful condition, I am estranged from God. He cannot recognize himself in me. Dare I say, even an enemy of God. He smells me, not mine. But the Bible says, when we are dead in our trespasses and sins, we are like that little lamb. But our iniquities have made separation between us and God. But God has made us acceptable in the Beloved. In his Son, he has made us acceptable. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. Therefore, like that little orphan lamb, if I am clothed with God's Son, I can be accepted by God. Salvation is to be clothed in the garment of another. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with his robe of righteousness. There are no good works needed on my part. I don't have to improve myself first, change some of my bad habits. I don't have to change my environment before I can come to him. Not even being born in a Christian family will make me right with him. Even if I subscribe to a good church, that will not make me right with him. I have to have a transaction with God and receive that work that he has accomplished for me in his Son on that cross. That is my way back to God. That is the bridge that covers that gap between God and I. Let me see here. My way of being restored into fellowship with God is to be dressed in the fleece of another, and that other is Jesus Christ, his Son. When I understood that by dying on the cross, Jesus took the penalty of death that was upon me, and that acceptance before God could be mine by the asking, I did just that. I confessed my sins to God, and I invited Jesus into my life. Right there under that Milky Way starry lit sky, I had my own personal transaction with God. Now my husband will come join me, and we'll sing a song for you that reminds us of this.
Hello. So we dusted this off, kind of. We're hoping we can remember all the lyrics. Oh, here they are.
Here they are.
Okay, how this goes. Okay, one more time.
I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. Gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and He lives in me. He lives in me. Oh, what joy it is to know my Heavenly Father loves me so, and gives to me my Jesus. When He looks at me, He sees not what I look to be, but He sees Jesus. I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. Gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and He lives in me. He lives in me. Oh, what joy it is to know the Heavenly Father loves me so, and gives to me my Jesus. When He looks at me, He's not what I used to be, but He sees Jesus.
Hello, everyone. There's no singing from me, I'm sure you heard that. But whatever happened here today, okay, I want you to know you're dearly loved by God. You're coming here with, I don't know what your purpose. I know Nancy is very hard charging, maybe, that's, but bottom line, no matter what happened here, whether you respond to the Lord, you are loved by Him, dearly loved. And I hope that you will realize, if you catch it, there is something that's going to stay with you for eternity. I know you go to a lot of school, work office conference, medical conference. Whatever you got will stay with you in this lifetime. But if you catch it today, it will stay with you forever. Now, I want to welcome you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's our Lord. Okay, there's all these Christians here, it's our Lord. Okay, so I'm going to begin with a little saying from the internet. It said that, trust your past to the mercy of God, and your present to the love of God, and your future to the providence of God. Trust, you see a lot of, maybe not necessarily American, but trust your past to the mercy of God, your present to the love of God, your future to the providence of God. I really like this saying because it kind of reminds me, we need to commit our life, past, present, and future, to someone greater than ourselves. And interestingly, that saying is saying, on the other side of this entrusting, there's somebody that's responding with mercy, love, and providence, okay, provision. Okay, so this is so wonderful. I'm just wondering, it tells me I have an inward need, innate need inside of me. But there, I have someone that's greater than myself. I don't know if you ever think you need someone greater than yourself. But as you go older and older, you will realize, I know you're kind of young, you realize as you grow older and older, there's something beyond your control. And you really need, and the Bible said, the rock that's higher than I. Okay, what and it say that I committed to God, right? Mercy of God, love of God. Who is this God? I'm not talking about any God. I'm talking about the one true God, the God that created this universe. The one that you see, the very hot weather in India, the very nice temperature here in New York. This eternal God, this God that created man, and a sister said that the one who created us for Himself, this God, we are talking about Him. Now, we have to pray now, because when it comes to God, there is no amount of brain power that will ever know him, no matter who you are. He is so big. As our sister said, on that Milky Way, what a great God. It's by revelation. Okay, so let's have a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Indeed, Lord, you are so big and you are so loving. You love us here. Even friends, we have friends here who does not know you, but you love them. And Lord, thank you for your love. And we want to commit ourselves into your loving hand. Lord, you told us, apart from revelation, we shall not see you. Lord, since you brought us here, grant us your divine revelation. Touch us by your Holy Spirit. Lead us forward. Lead us into the fullness of Christ, that we may know your beloved Son. Thank you, Lord. We put ourselves in your hand. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, friend, so it started with the mercy of God. I want to ask you, and all these, everyone you have experienced life, have you met mercy of God? Have you met mercy of God? Have you met mercy from another person? Have you been in a situation where you're just, that moment, you're so desperate, and you just want somebody to show some kindness to you, compassion? The eyes that just tell you, I know you're going through it. I'm there. I'm sorry you have to go through it. And I have to tell you, I sometimes it's my own doing. But I needed mercy. Have you get to that place that you realize, I need mercy, and you're not finding any? Okay. Well, you can kind of remind me of a story in the Bible. It's the adulterous woman in the Gospel of John. You know, the religious people at that time, it's called Pharisee. They caught an adulterous woman in the very act. So she is done for because she was caught, okay, red-handed. And those religious people were just so happy. Hey, caught you. I'm going to use you to get to Jesus. Okay, so they were so delighted, they're going to just put it badly, they're going to trash her, but they're going to get to Jesus. Okay, so friend, I do not know what you think about her. What you would think if you were in her situation, what would you do? Okay, but they tell Jesus, they ask Jesus, we caught this person. What do you say about him? They keep pressing Jesus again and again until Jesus has to say, he who without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. And they were saying, all of them, one by one, beginning for the oldest, they left the woman alone. Because their conscience pricked them. They realized they themselves are sinners. Friends, I don't know what is your story, but have you met the mercy of God? What is the mercy of God? The Bible said this, a bruised wick, he will not break off. A bruised reed, he will not break off. A smothering wick, he will not put off until he lead justice to victory. I don't know if you do gardening, you Manhattan people, but have you ever seen a broken blade of grass? It's kind of broken, okay? It's just very easy for us to just tear it off. Isn't that very much our desire? Doesn't look nice, but just tear it off. How about a smothering wick that's just about to die? Just put it off, it's easier. You don't want to nurse it back. In the Bible, it's telling us we are that smothering wick. We are that broken reed. We are that. But the Bible said. But Bible said he will lead the justice to victory. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smothering wick he will not put out until he lead justice to victory, and his name the Gentile will hold. What is victory here? The victory is not to convict us. Okay? The victory is to restore sinners back to himself. It's to meet us with mercy. Do you want a new beginning sometimes? Sometimes I wanted a new beginning. I want to start afresh because I mess up. I do not know what you have done in your life, but have you ever come to that place? Someone have mercy on me. Do not be so harsh on me. Give me a break. I just need to start again. Do you get that in Manhattan? Maybe not. Okay. But you're going to get it in the Lord. The Lord said to you, until he led justice to victory, victory that is not to condemn you, but victory that is making you back to what he created you to be. That is his victory. So Jesus was pressed by those Pharisees, and he has no other choice but to tell them, he who without guilt, let him throw the first stone. And in the end, everybody left. And Jesus asked the woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? And the woman said, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way, sin no more. I don't know, again, whether you can imagine yourself in that place of the adulterous woman, because I hope you have not ever crossed that line. But have you ever come to a place where you expect great humiliation? Can you imagine this woman at that place? He is expecting humiliation, utter shame. He had no place to hide. He don't know what to do. He's completely at the mercy of others. And yet the Lord Jesus, on the very moment and his greatest need, he came over to him and he said, neither do I condemn you. From now on, sin no more. Can you imagine the good news? Neither do I condemn you. Who is the Lord? He never sinned. He has every right to condemn us. But he has never sinned and he did not condemn us. Well, does that mean? Does that mean God is an everything go easy, God? Everything just you can sin all the time? And God will say, from now on, sin no more, you just keep going? No. Because very soon, Jesus Christ will die on the cross for that woman's sin. That sin will be paid for. Everything will be settled. And the good news is, Jesus will settle that score for us. In the Bible, it said, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy. I don't know, modern day's life, I guess we are so hardened. I don't know if you have met mercy. This is what you need in life because we are all sinners. And Jesus Christ is meeting you with mercy. The saying goes, we can put our past under the mercy of God. We all have a past. And we can put it under the mercy of God if you meet the living God. I know a lot of people here, some of you who have not don't know about Jesus Christ. You all have the impression about religion. Religion without the living God will condemn you. He will seek to condemn you, just like the Pharisees. But until you meet the living God, you do not know. Behind all these things, it's the God of the universe, God who created you, who longed to have mercy on you. Now, the second statement is that put your present in the love of God. With that, I want to go to the story of Robin Williams. I'm sorry, I don't know. Maybe some of you don't know who Robin Williams is. Robin Williams is a pretty famous comedian here in the United States. So he's a comedian. He's supposed to make people laugh. He brings all these light moments, humorous moments in people's life.
but he committed suicide. Of course, if you read the internet, you will see that there's different debate whether he was depression, whether he was some other reason. There's all these medical professionals here, so I would not go into it. But but here is not what I want to get into. He had a very poignant saying. He said that, "I used to think the worst thing that can happen in life is that I will end up all alone by myself." He said, but it is not. He said, "The worst thing that can happen is I end up with people who make me feel all alone in the end." He was in the midst of people. He was making people laugh. But he felt all alone. Friends, and actually brother and sister, I wonder, what do you want to get out of life? Very serious. You have some young men here. You have some very, very young men. We have some older folks here, young. What do you want to get out of life? Success, of course. I've been young before. I want success. Recognition. But I want you to seriously consider, is that what would truly satisfy you? I would venture to say, for you to and I to live is to know, is to love others, and to be loved, is to know and be known. I'll tell you, if you pass through this life without you yourself being truly known, without having the one that is so close to you, he knows you, you don't really live. You're living under a visage. You're living under an image that perhaps you crave for yourself, but you have not been fully living. If you don't love, that's another problem. As a Christian, I can tell you, one summer, I cannot tell you how, but and there's not much point to this, but one summer, very clearly, the Lord Jesus told me, to love is to live. I'm very clear where he said, I can even tell you where he said that to me. You do not love, you do not live. And if you do not know and be known, you don't really exist. There is something missing. Now, there is a person in this Bible, his name is David. And basically, one time he said this, he told us his background, that even though my father and mother forsake me, Jehovah will take me up. So he's saying even his parents forget about him, okay? None other than the dearest parent. He was forsaken. But he himself also wrote in the Psalm, and I'm going to read it to you, in Psalm 139. He described a God that know him so, so dearly, unimaginable. I'm just going to read it. I hope my English won't trip up. You can really hear for yourself. He's talking about God now. You is meaning referring to God. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written, the day ordained for me, when at yes, there was not one of them. It's amazing. God knows this person even before anything he said. He knows about it. He knows when you sit up, when you lie down. You know there's a God. There truly is a God, a living God that knows your deepest thoughts, like and dislike, knows your fear, your deepest fear. Know when you're lonely. Know your sin so thoroughly. Know when you're faking. That's why and when I pray to God, it's very straight. It's very ugly sometimes to pray because I don't hide with God. It's very straight. Can you be straight? and this is the God, my God. And he said, these per passage really tell us God created us for himself. And in love, we are his treasure. And he also said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why is it fearfully and wonderfully made? I always kind of struggle, but this time I felt the Lord's tell me, fearfully, because you're made exactly like that. You're made for him. No one can devalue you. No one, well, they can try, but your value will never be devalued because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are really made for him. No one can look down on you. No one can devalue you because you are precious in his sight. I don't know if you have met this God for yourself. And it also said, my soul know it very well. Here is the surprise for you, everybody here. If you do not know the Lord, this is a surprise. You do know about God because the Bible tell you and tell us very well, that which is known about God is evident within you. You know there is a God. You know there is a maker. From the deep inside of your heart, you know him. So when we put our life in the love of God, it doesn't really mean, doesn't only mean that he's going to take care of our life. No, it's more than that. It's to know the love which he has, especially for you. Our sister quoted that passage. He said, we are fearfully and you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until it finds its rest in you. You're going to find your hearts going to be restless. You will be restless until you find your rest in him. And why is that? Because you did not find the person, the living being, that knows you through and through. Your heart will always seeking for that one that corresponds to you. You will not stop seeking until you find God of heaven knows you in the deep. I am going to venture and ask you, are you a Robin Williams in the making? Are you a Robin Williams in some way? I do not mean you are depressed. I do not mean you have a disease. But I do mean deep inside of you, you are struggling. There is something you just don't know how to handle, is struggling. You are a Robin Williams in some fashion. No one can see it. My dear friend, dear brother and sister, myself, there is a God who knows us and wants to help us. There is this song that said, Jesus knows our every trouble and will help us until the day is done. Oh, lowly, so lowly Jesus. No, what a friend we have in the lowly Jesus. There is no other one. Do you know Jesus is so lowly that he's willing to come to meet each one of us? It's a lowly Jesus. Sometimes we are so proud, so proud. And therefore, we do not know a living person in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, there is a wonderful communion that he's inviting us, a wonderful intimacy. This is called intimacy when you know the other person, when the other person knows you. There is no wonder that in this world there's a lot of romance movie, because that's the second best. That's that inward need for correspond. That's why it's like those movies. But there is a best one, as in Jesus Christ. The intimacy is very costly, because the God has said this. The Bible said, tell us, at the anguish of his soul, he will be satisfied. It's not telling. It is by anguish of Jesus' soul, God will see it and be satisfied. And by my knowledge, my righteous one, my servant, will justify the many and will bear their iniquity. It's telling us the punishment for our sin required the anguishment of Jesus' soul. His soul has to suffer that our soul can have communion with God. Well, since we are all here, we are not in prison, I have to venture to ask you, what is your secret sin? We are all sinners. You can come to the Bible. The Bible never defends that you are not a sinner. It goes without saying. What is your secret sin? We all have a secret sin. Anger, lust, greed. Maybe you have bitterness. You never thought bitterness is sin. But bitterness is sin. What? Pride. No one can see it but you yourself and God. I can see it. It is for all these ugly sins that Jesus had to die. You know what's the definition of sin? In the Bible, the definition of sin is fall short of the glory of God. And even in this verse, you can see the love of God. Because it tells us that God created us for his glory. And we mess up and we never live up to that standard. God wants to restore us back to that standard. And he required the death of Jesus' soul. The Bible tells us very clearly, it's man for man. It's his life for your life and mine. There is no other way. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is out of the anguish of his soul. At that moment, he lost communion with his Father, with the Holy God that he had never lost before. And out of that anguish of his soul, the salvation is complete. Can you fathom such love? I want to ask you, friends, brother, sister too, have you actually looked at the cross? Have you ever looked at the cross of a dying man, Jesus Christ? He's spent for you. He's completely broken. Have you met a humble man that would humble himself for you, knowing you will reject him? Knowing you may reject him. He did it anyway. He spent for you on the cross. God, the Bible said, God made him who knew no sin. He's innocent. What does that mean, innocent? Innocent means he's pure. He does not know what sins mean. He never sinned. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on your behalf, on my behalf, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Now we are righteous. We are clothed with the righteousness of God. And we find acceptance. The amazing thing about the cross, and that's what true love is that you can reject it. You are free to reject. You're free to ignore. But I want to ask you, go through your life and ask yourself whether you have ever met a love that's not thinking about themselves, but thinking about you. I think you will be hard-pressed. Oh, I know. You would think, my parents. It is possible. They may be quite selfless, but they are sinful men and women themselves. They cannot save you. God is love. And he said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died with an eye fully wide open, knowing we are sinners. He still died for us. Your friend, it is finished. Someone just said this now. Salvation work is finished. It's done. God has already reconciled us to himself. God said, I reconcile all things to himself through the blood of his cross. That blood that shed on that cross, that blood satisfied God completely.
I don't know if you've seen this Michelangelo's pictures, right? It's called The Creations of Adam. It shows God and Adam, God and man. That's so close. Their finger are almost touching, but never touch. That is quite true in the sense that if you have not received Jesus, God's just never reachable, never touch. But in Christ Jesus, when he died on the cross, he grabbed one hand on his heavenly Father, the Holy Father, on the other hand, our hand, and he put it on himself on the cross. It is for us, your friend. There's right now before you is a decision. It always comes down to that. Jesus already died on the cross. May the Holy Spirit reveal that to you. And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to say, humbly come to the cross, and you stand forgiven under the cross? Thank you, Lord. You would die for me. Or you can say, see you another day. Maybe I'll have a chance to come back. It's for you to decide. Such is love that you can reject it. So why don't we sing a song, and then we're going to end with some prayer. We sing two stanzas of the song, How Deep the Father's Love. Continue to play? Yeah. So we're going to ask all of us to close our eyes so we can concentrate in prayer. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask for the response. I want you to come to your own sacred place in your hearts. You come with friends or you come by yourself. But now it's between you and the Lord. Truly, He is here today. He
He knows you all along. He loves you in ways beyond you can understand. Truly, you are here not because by accident. Yes, someone invited you. Yes, you came. But he's drawing you. He divinely arranged. And now you're here. Do you know that you can trust your past under the mercy of God? Do you see God's mercy? So infinite, so free. He wants to meet you just where you are. Before he became your Savior, he is the friend of sinners. Yes, Lord. Yes, you are sinners. I am sinners. But he met us where we needed. When we cry for mercy, we didn't meet judgment. But we met God's mercy. Mercy that pays for our sin. You can entrust your present to the love of God. So you can know that truly he knows you. He will lead you forward and he will prepare even an eternity for you. I don't know if you are fearing, you sense something, but you do not know whether you should respond or not. Just know that this is the one who said, a bruised wick he would not break off, a smoldering wick would not put out, until he lead justice to victory, until he restore you to himself. He will not break you off. He will restore you. Do not fear. Come just as you are, without a plea, because he has loved you. If you want to respond to his love, raise your hand. If you want to respond to his love, if you want to put yourself as he knows you, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. I see it. Praise the Lord. You respond to him. You're not responding to man. The God who has known you. You have created him for yourself, and your heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. If you want the rest of your soul, that who knows you so deeply, who has so much for you, even eternity for you, then raise your hand. Thank you. You can put your hand down. You've been running away from God for your whole life. You know him in some way, but you felt he condemned you. Oh, a religion without the living God. You want to run away. But he is seeking you. The living God is seeking you today. The Bible says, in this is love. Not that you love God, but he loves you. And provided Jesus as the atoning sacrifice for you. He only asked for a feeble response. He knows who you are. He knows your worry, your fear. But he knows your heart. Just a feeble response. Would you dare, by simple faith, you don't know everything, you cannot figure everything out, but you see the love of God through Jesus Christ. Would you dare to put your life in his hand? If you're willing, raise your hand. Put yourself in his hand. You can put your hand down. Do you respond and dare to trust him? Because he died for you on the cross. He will spend for you. Do you want proof? Your proof that God loves you. Proof he is God. My dear friend, the Holy Spirit today witness to you in your hearts, if you're open. He's showing you Jesus died on the cross for you. That is true, eternal truth. Jesus died for our sin. a man spent, forsaken, rejected, even forsaken by God for that moment. That is your salvation. This whole world disowned the cross. It's foolishness, but love is foolish. God so foolishly loved us. He died for our sin, knowing we're gonna reject him just the same. Love is foolish. Would you embrace the cross, the shame of the cross, and tell yourself you want to follow your Lord? He is your Lord. Bow down to him. If you want to bow down to him and tell him thank you, raise your hand. Say thank you to Jesus. Thank you to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is only one regret in life. There's only one. It's not what you have done. It's that one day when you go to before the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of God before him, you'll find out, oh, he did all this for me. You really did that? You really died for me? You did that? Oh, only to find out it is true. My dear friend, do not in the end experience this greatest regret. The greatest regret of knowing, oh, it is all true. He did love me. You're here responding to him alone, not to anyone else. Do you dare to tell him, I want to love you back. Take my life and let it be. If you want to, raise your hand. Take my life and let me be. Let it be. Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, we just want to commit all those who have responded to you. Lord, you know their hearts. They truly belong to you. Thank you, Lord. Truly, you died for our sin. On that cross, you gave your life for us. Thank you for loving us so dearly. And now, Lord, we commit this dear one that responded into your mighty hand. Lord, you will not fail them. Since you saved them, you call them to yourself. And Lord, bring them through. Lord, we want to also commit those who have not responded. And we pray, Lord, you bless the words you have sown in their hearts. Truly, Lord, we know your love will never let them go. We thank you for this great love, that Lord, that follow us, that seek us, that call us to yourself. Lord, we our prayer for those who have received and those who have not received, that Lord, indeed, they will find the lover of their soul. And Lord, indeed, they are made for you. And let their hearts find it rest in you. Be glorified in their life. Thank you, Lord, for coming for each one of us. We praise you, Lord. We pray in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We want to thank the Lord for his abundant provisions. All those that have raised their hands to either receive the Lord or have a willing heart to respond to that love, we want to thank God because only God can move our hearts. And so we praise him for what he has done. So for those that have raised your hands and those who may be interested to know more, we encourage you to stick around. We just have a few brothers and sisters would like to say a few words and share something and even a gift for you. But for all others, if you can start move downstairs and prepare for the light meal that we'll have. Okay. So all those that have raised their hands before and all those who are interested to find out more, please stay in the room, okay? All right.